All right. We got Alicia Branham, founder of Brand Marketing, bringing incredible energy to the podcast. Very excited for this one. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate you guys, Antonio Landon. I'm so excited to be here today.
Absolutely. So let's dive right into it. Tell us a little bit more about you, yourself, your story. I want to hear a lot about like kind of where your past has brought you to where you're at today, because you're in a very specific niche and vertical and doing some awesome stuff in business. So very excited for this.
Thanks. So again, my name is Alicia Branham, owner and operator of Brand Marketing. We're a boutique design firm. We specialize in I do help a lot of small businesses, but I have an absolute passion for PVF and HVAC and why a chick has a passion for that. So in my former life, I was marketing communications director for a very large valve manufacturer in the Carolinas. I built their entire marketing department from scratch by myself, worked in a really heavily male dominated industry. And so that afforded me the ability to learn so many different things about this particular space. I've been a creator for 25 years and I've been in this particular space for 15. And so Brand Marketing started almost 7 years ago. It'll be June makes 7 years we've been in business. And it's just, I took my job and the passion that I had in my big high profile valve job, and I parlayed that and upcycled that into a lucrative business for myself called Brand Marketing. And I serve manufacturer reps and manufacturers of all kinds of, ball valves, mixing valves, piping, backflow preventers, across North America. So I have 24 rep firms I serve in North America and 7 manufacturers. And my target this year is to go after manufacturers in general. And I'm going to grow from $500,000 business to $5 million business in the next 5 years. And so those are my aggressive plans that I actually are going to be like, that's my big plan. That's me. That's all about me.
Love it. Love it. Love it. So pretty tactical question, maybe, I guess. So what are the most critical elements of a successful marketing strategy specific to that HVAC, PVF space? What are the most critical elements of successful marketing strategies specifically for those businesses, and how has that evolved since you got into business?
Sure. Interesting. It's very interesting to say that. My 15-year career inside of this HVAC PVF lane, when I first started, social media wasn't a thing. People weren't really online. YouTube was starting, but it's just not what it is right now. And so in the beginning, I remember when I started there, they did a study if it was even okay for us to have a LinkedIn account. I laughed so hard that I wasn't even allowed to make that decision for the business at the time because I thought it was just too foreign and obscure and everyone's pounding the door to be online, right? So what I found is that there's been a progression in the way that they perceive what they needed to do previously, what little monies they needed to spend on certain activities or things versus kind of what's kind of the industry in our society is dictating right now, right? So in our industry, we deal with people from ages from, 20 to 80 years old, right? So you literally have to market to people from 20 to 80. And that means you're going to get the younger generation like us that's online is going to look for all the information, data, everything. They're going to look for a partner and a resource online on their phone, sitting in their car, on the beach, on vacation, wherever. The older people, they want something paper, like the 80-year-olds, they don't want to be on their phone. And so I find that the industry's had to, whether they like it or not, has had to really change and adopt the way that they market themselves and getting themselves building their business's brand online. And not just that, but me educating their sales team about how to build their personal brand online, because my people are trying to, garner relationships with engineering firms and plumbing houses are going to put in purchase orders with you for the next 5-10 build outs. And you got a $10 million, $20 million contract and you're a happy camper, right? And they've all had to change the way that they want to do business. And that's why I started an agency, because I saw this big gap in this space of an underserviced arena where no one was really doing what I do. I haven't really found an agency that does exactly what I do. I haven't. So does that answer your question? It's probably long-winded.
I love it.
It's true. They've had to change.
No, it definitely does.
And this industry in particular is 5 years behind the times, right? So those people, if you say TikTok to them, they're like, where's the gun? We don't want that. It's true. They don't want it. But they've had to gradually spoon feed them into LinkedIn. They'll do that. Instagram now is a thing. Okay. Facebook, right? Besides that, they're not interested. And I have people tell me, I can't wait to torch my social media channels when I retire. But they know they need it.
I read something super unique, which sparked my brain a little bit. It said, if you want to be successful, go find a really successful company that has a fax machine and go compete against them. Because they're like, if they're able to be successful without like adopting this stuff, just adopt their practices and then leverage all the new, you know, the digital side of it as well. And this industry specifically, like you had mentioned, is lagging a little bit behind. Where are the, like, the channels right now to, like, I know like Google Ads crush it in this space as well. Like, what specific channels are you guys specifically leveraging significantly more with this vertical? Sure.
Honestly, we spend most of our time on LinkedIn or Instagram, and for two specific reasons. One, first and foremost, honestly, the people in the space that we run in, like you guys run in, none of them want to be online at all. They don't want to be anywhere, but they will be on LinkedIn because there's no drama. There's no politics. There's no Susie's this. There's no Charlie's that. It's mostly purely business, right? For the most part. So you're definitely going to garner the attention of your, you know, the eyes that you're looking for, the real buyers, the influencers. Like, you could try to get someone's attention on Facebook that's maybe a staff member, but you're going to get the owner of a company looking at what you're doing on LinkedIn. You're going to get higher ranking people on there. And so that's been our biggest focus, for especially the lanes I'm in. When people tell me they want to be on Facebook, and I say to them, it's my lanes, not that's my market segment dictates that that's not a valuable space for them. So when they tell me they want to be on a space that's not for them, I'll tell them, are you sure? And that means I make less money, but I don't care because it's not for them. Right?
What, if I could pause you for a second, what is the specific strategy that is working on LinkedIn? Because my view of LinkedIn, I guess, is jaded, where I log into my LinkedIn and I have 30 million DMs with just like robots that makes me feel so icky. But I see so many people crushing it on LinkedIn. So help us understand like what the tactical strategy around LinkedIn is.
So at the end of the day, you have a chance to do two different things on LinkedIn. One is to build your personal brand, right? So say like you're a salesperson in the spaces I'm in, and you've been in it for 20, 30 years, and you post a lot. Like, the personal posts that crush on LinkedIn is if you're at a lunch and learn with someone, you're at an event, you're at a charity golf event for some local organization, for like PHCC or something like that, right? You're at one of the manufacturers getting training. You're at Gerber University getting training from Gerber, right? You're at Uponor, right? Getting training. And those type of posts seem to garner a lot of traction, and they gain a lot of followers, because in this industry that we work in, people want to do business with people. And so I think LinkedIn is it like a discounted type of tool to use, because you can. So when I serve a client and I deal with their social media management, and we do all from content creation, all of it. Like, imagine doing content creation on Valve products, right? So I have to have a system, process, and procedure to do that correctly, or my ass is cut grass, right? And so, we curate content based on the client's needs. So I'll listen to the organization, what their goals are, what the reputation they're trying to develop inside of their states that they serve, the industries that they're really dominating in. Because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get them seen online as being that area expert for, like, say, I have a client in Michigan, and they call themselves the hydronic source specialists. And the reason thing I didn't know is that they do all the drawings and schematics to put all pieces together for you, which is unusual for a manufacturer rep in general. But they also do like cement. Like, I didn't even know that there was like mitigation of like snow with like piping in your cement, right? And that's a whole thing. And I didn't know that because I don't live in Minnesota, where it's only nice 3 months out of the year, right? And so these people are just really unique and different, and showcasing all of my client strengths garnishes them the attention of those big manufacturers that are looking for new representation in the area, that are unhappy with somebody that's just sitting around for the commission money and the check, and not being of service in the community, not going on a job site, not working with that plumbing house, not working with that engineering firm to troubleshoot problems. Like, I work with winners, right? Because they're in it to win it, and they understand that they've needed to adjust, adapt, and change inside the space. And the people that do are the people rising to the top, getting manufacturer rep of the year with different manufacturers, getting recognized as rep firm of the year with different publications inside the industry, right? It's because they're putting themselves out there. You need to be seen. If anybody on the planet in any income range can look you up on your cell phone, on their cell phone, and see who you are, you should really care about what you look like. Even if you're a plumber, even if you're an electrician, even if you're a babysitter, even if you are a concrete guy, I don't care. You need to care about what you look like online. That's it.
So how do you approach maintaining, you know, brand cohesion, brand consistency across all these different channels that are out there, right? So if it's LinkedIn and if it's Instagram, let's stay in that pocket. Like, how do you maintain that cohesion? How are you having your clients maintain that consistency and cohesion? Is consistency even important in that vein?
It's not as important. What you put on isn't as important as how often you put on. So if you're consistent with your posting, that's what the algorithms are always looking like, looking for on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on any of those channels. But the reality is that most of my folks come to me because they want to set it and forget it scenario. And so I'm the one doing all that. Right. So I'm the one that's coming up with that content. You know, they'll give me their marching orders. We'll have conversations about like who's your highest paying, you know, manufacturers, what are your biggest contracts, what are your biggest sellers, what's your need in the areas, or anything cyclical that happens for you guys. Because these are all important things to think about no matter what industry you're in. There's some cyclical times that more business or less business happens. If you can understand that, capture and start having conversations around the times, planting seeds, you know, months before, but you know, so like, say like for roofers, for instance, you know, a certain time is roofing season, especially down in the hurricane states that we have and all that stuff, right? You know, there's a certain time of year that's good for you when you're going to start sowing your seeds online and, you know, print ads or on television. Like There's a system that how you can do things. So when someone has a problem, they know that they're going to be looking at you. But if you start marketing ahead of time, then you're capturing that business later down when it is busy. And I try to do that with my clients. We showcase their, like, if it's sump pump season, right? Like, who knows it's sump pump season in specific states? I do. Because I ask, right? Because this is how I help to curate a conversation, not just for the business to carry, but for their sales team to carry as well, because they're representative of the company. And so they need to be spouting the same rhetoric, the same information, sharing that information, you know, encouraging their distributors and their wholesalers inside the food chain, because this is a big food chain that I work in, to be marketing and doing these, you know, doing this work. And the industry is changing. One of the things I will tell your listeners is that if you're ever looking for a career change, the construction lane and anyone you see fit is lucrative, because the talent and the age group of people in these spaces is dying out. And so if you're looking to, like, say, like, you want to become a plumber and you're in Texas, right? There's a group called the PVF Roundtable that is a charitable organization that gives scholarships to underprivileged people to go to school to become engineers and plumbers. And that's a really cool thing, because they're trying to create opportunity inside for the trades, right? For people to learn about the trades. And so you don't have to get a traditional college degree to go make some big money out there. You just have to not be afraid to get your hands a little bit dirty. And I think that's a disconnect in our society. I just got to throw that out there, because it's a thing in my industry right now, you know? So
it seems like a lot of the strategy that you had mentioned is like B2B. If a company wants to go direct to consumer, how do we pivot the strategy? Or is that not something that is that your lane?
You know, I do that as my lane sometimes, but I do a lot of business to business. So if it's a business consumer strategy, it's kind of no different. So it's a matter of analyzing which is the best platform for you to be on. Where are the eyes that you want to see you? And for a lot of people in the personal coaching space or the smaller spaces, those are like Facebook and those are Instagram. There's a lot of Facebook communities where people have coaching communities or people grow. If you're a small business or you're trying to, you're doing business to consumer, then that is definitely more of a space for you. Unless you are aiming towards job seekers And then LinkedIn's for you all day long because job seekers are on LinkedIn. But if you're a small business owner, honestly, a lot of people I know and some of the people that I coach, they crush on Instagram. I'll give you a really basic example. The girl who does my nails, super nice girl. She used to work for a salon. Then she got her own space. And I talk about marketing strategies. I've given her ideas. And then she told me last week her book of business is filled up. And I said, that's awesome. I'm so happy to hear that, Britt. I asked her, how'd you do it? Instagram reels and stories. And so that is going to be your winner chicken dinner as a small business owner, or if you're trying to go direct to consumer, Instagram is your winner, because I think people are tired of Facebook. And if you've got the stomach for TikTok, that's a whole other conversation for another day. But that is another lane, if it's still legal for us to use it and when, I don't know, but let's not talk TikTok.
I mean, we've talked a lot about business and marketing, but you had also mentioned before the podcast about, you know, your passion to inspire other people to just take the leap into entrepreneurship, that the water's fine on this side. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and like what invigorates you to inspire other people to take this leap? Because there's a lot of people listening to this that, you know, they might be right on the edge of like, you know, leaving the corporate job, et cetera. So what advice do you have for those people listening?
Be brave and bet on yourself. That's the first and foremost. Why don't you bet on yourself? Us as human beings, we're always putting our faith in other people, right? We put our faith in a pilot when we get in a plane to know that he's going to get us there safe, right? We put our faith in a lot of things. Why don't we put some faith in ourselves that we could do something? So I'll give you a great example. So say like you I've been working for a roofing company for like 20 years, and you know every single in and out about the roofing industry, what it needs. You see all the smaller players out there, and say like you did marketing, or you do what I do, but you did it for a roofing business, right? Because I'm no different. I did it for a plumbing business, right? And so, or a PBF business. And so find, if you know that you have all kinds of knowledge and expertise that can actually help and serve someone, then take a chance and start a business on it. Even just give it a shot as a part-timer, as a contractor. Put some feelers out there for yourself and see how you can upcycle your skill set and what you've done for someone else for 20 years, right? And seeing how you can take that on a larger scale and so you can upcycle that and serve a larger, greater population of people, right? As an entrepreneur, because one of the things that they don't tell you is the fact that entrepreneurship affords you the ability to write off a lot of things on your taxes, affords you a lot of trips and opportunities for travel, that when you're in a 9-to-5 job, you're kind of really pigeonholed to how much money you can make, right? And so by going down that entrepreneur lane, you know, you have the ability to control your income, you know, and even if you're new, even if you're just new, and you don't have, like, I haven't had a job for 20 years. How do you expect me to parlay something into something that's not even there? Well, say like you're passionate about the sports industry, right? Like I know a guy that used to work with my husband over at backcountry.com, huge outdoor outfit in the Utah, right, where I live. And he was selling bikes, and then he went into the marketing department right over there. You know what he does now? He has a big company serving the outdoor industry and marketing and creative and social media work. Boom, boom, boom. And he only worked there for a couple years. So it's because he was a go-getter. So if you find an industry you're really passionate about, right? And you know people, it's about building connections. So even if you're trying to build a business or build a side business and you're afraid, put yourself in environments, rooms, places, trade shows where you're going to be in a room with the type of people you want to be doing business with, because you're not going to be able to even create new business unless you're out there trying to get it. And it's going to be more than being online, right? So that would be my advice to anyone that's thinking about it's easy for you, been in the business for 20 years. Of course, it's easy for you to start a business. Well, it's actually easy for anyone. It's not easy for me just because I've been doing it for 20 years. It's because I'm consistent. Consistency wins, right? Isn't that the thing, right? Consistency wins. And so I'm consistent and going after it. And so it took me 7 years to get this far. The first 3 years sucked. It was hard. I made bad decisions. I had bad hires, but it's all part of that growth process. And then every business owner from Apple to your local grocer has had to put up with. So even if you're like, oh, my problem is, you're the same problem as everyone else. So even if you get yourself in a BNI group or a business group with other business owners, you get to talk shop and have other resources to talk business stuff with, and you're not alone. And so there's so much for you to do. You just have to bet on yourself and take that chance and be consistent in your actions, and you will win. It's taken me 7 years to get this far, but I've been crushing it for like more than that. But it's just consistency.
So to that point, you mentioned kind of like your journey so far. I'd love to talk about your business more under the hood, right? So like, talk about what your team looks like today. And I'd love if you could just riff on, you know, managing creative and marketing teams. Obviously, it can be a challenge. Like, what are some like leadership principles that you've taken that have guided you in kind of building this team over time? And what does that team look like today?
Sure. Currently, we have 5 team members, and I have 2 part-time like contractors that work for me. One guy does 3D modeling work, animation, which is just breathtaking. And I have a virtual assistant in the Philippines, like most other entrepreneurs. But I have other employees in the United States. And so I'm really big on systems, processes, and procedures. And that's been my saving grace. And so when Brand started back in June of 2017, it was just me trying to make 40 hours a week and make my nut and be happy with that. And then I realized that that really wasn't enough for me. And not just that too, but word start getting around that, hey, Alicia started a business. Hey, Alicia's working for so-and-so. People knocking on my door. Hey, can you help me? I heard you help so-and-so. Can you help me? I heard you help so-and-so. So my business really started because other people heard that I was doing this for others from my Valve job. So the Valve job where people knew me, where I had to get up in front of big meetings, in front of hundreds of people, talk about marketing strategy for the year, new products are being launched in front of all these men, paid off because they remembered me. And so, you know, that right there was really cool for me to be able to take all that growing into my business. And so currently is something I'm very proud of. And I'm going to talk about this because this is another secret sauce to any owner out there. So God gifted me with a business. I won the business lottery in America. Okay. And you're like, what's that? I never heard of that before. So Goldman Sachs has put together a program about 10 years ago called 10,000 Small Businesses. It's a global program that's offered to small business owners across globally, right? And so they've gone past 10 now, their goal is 20. And so I'm currently in a program in my local community college. It's like a mini MBA program for small business owners to help them crush their game, to forecast, be able to get their 5-year, their 10-year plan, understand all the workings under the hood, right? Because I only know so things. So like you asked me, how do I control all the chaos for my marketing business? We use Trello for our project management. We use Microsoft Teams for all of that. We have notebooks for all of our clients. Like, I'm very well organized. But the true gift for me is this program with Goldman Sachs, right? So it's Goldman Sachs, 10,000 small businesses. You can look it up online. Anyone can apply. And it's free. It's a free resource nationally. And so I tell you that because it's not just the 90 days that I'm in this mini MBA program. It's the fact that I am now connected to a community forever. I am now part of an alumni from this. And the curriculum was put together by Babson College out of Boston. So put together by a prestigious school, right? And I'm knee deep in this right now. And it has really opened my eyes even more. So like, I know that if I want to be a $10 million business and I had this idea of only having 10 employees, I know now that I need more like 35 to get to that $10 million mark because I'm a service-based business. And so I have time to sell. And so that means staff. And that's just a different way of looking at things. And it's a forever business source forever. So I want to share that with your listeners because that's a really big deal. And all you need to have is one employee and have like $100,000 in revenue and be in business for 2 years. That's it. So imagine if you need real resources behind the hood.
I love it.
And I just want to share that with your listeners because I think it's a great gift.
Thank you for that. Now, as we near the wrap-up point here, this is a question that we ask everyone on the podcast that comes on. As you had alluded to, this is the Consistency Wins podcast. So a corny question we always ask is, what does that word mean to you? What does consistency mean to you? And how does that show up in your business, your life, your clients, et cetera?
Consistency means to me is showing up every day the way I need to for my business, the way I need to for myself as a person, personally in my marriage, in my friendships, right? So being consistent with my actions. And so, you know, entrepreneurship is, you know, it's not, nothing in life is set it and forget it. there has to be some level of consistency in your life to make things happen, whether it's how you eat, eating consistently healthy, consistently drinking water, consistently trying to elevate your mindset by reading new books or reading the Bible or whatever elevates you to a different space, consistently engaging with your community, consistently working at your business. If you're an athlete, do you think people in the NFL are inconsistent, or are they consistent with your training? And so it doesn't matter if you're an NFL player or an at-home mom, you need to be consistent in all of your actions, right? And that even if you suck at consistency and you're like, man, I'm just so bad at it, if you just try 1% better every day to get better, just 1%, and give yourself grace in that lane, like just give yourself grace and stop beating the shit out of yourself, then all of a sudden at the end of the year, you're 365% better. And it was just gradual change, because we all try to do too much at once. We try to change too much at once. We're going to take on too much at once. And I think that because we were told we have to be 100% all the time. And the reality is we can only be 80. It's hard to be 100% at everything. And so just consistently showing up, even if you don't want to show up, and just being 1% better every day and giving yourself grace. That's the secret sauce.
Amen to that. I love it. Thank you so much, Alicia, for all that. That was incredible. Well, we are looking forward to continue to stay connected with you. Thank you so much for coming on. How can our listeners connect with you? Where can they find you on social media?
Sure. You can find me on LinkedIn under my name, Alicia Branham, on Instagram, The Real Alicia Branham, and my website, AliciaBranham.com. You can connect with me. If you wanted to book a 15-minute mini with me to talk about anything that you need, you could find a resource there to talk with me. And I do mean it. I like serving others. And so if you find yourself stuck in anything and you like anything I had to say today, I'm happy to give you 15 minutes of my time. The more we give to our community, the more we give to this world, the better we can do for others. And that just comes back. And so it's, if you don't give, you're not going to get anything back in this world. That's the way it is. So I'm here for you, everyone.
I love it. I love it. Well said. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. So happy. Thank you.